I would like to call the Town of Montville Planning and Zoning Commission meeting to order, September 28th, 2021. First order of business, the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic which stands one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, Mr. Secretary, roll call, please.
Don Peterson, Secretary, present. William P. Meath.
Here.
Tony Saragusa.
Here.
Bruce DeShano.
Here.
John Estelle.
Here.
Chuck Longton.
Here.
Will Pike.
Here.
Sarah Lundy.
Here.
Joshua Oblake, absent. Okay.
All right, very good.
So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 present.
Thank you.
Out of 9.
All right. Moving on, agenda item 5A. We're in our public hearing session. The applicant is Old Colchester Road LLC, proposed zoning regulation text amendment to section 16.10.6 to amend text to add after the word zone, however, that lots in the R40 zone may be developed in accordance with the following bulk requirements if served by public sewer and water. Lot frontage, 80 feet. Front yard setback, 30 feet. Rear yard setback, 30 feet. Side yard setback, 10 feet. We're going to open the public hearing on this. Colleen.
Thank you, Chairman. I'd like to enter the following exhibits into the record. Number one, a copy of the proposed amendment to the zoning regulations. Number two, proposed amendment to the zoning regulations posted in the file for office on 8/31/2021. A copy of the legal ad published on the town website on September 17th, 2021. A copy of the legal ad published in the Day on September 17th, 2021 and September 24th, 2021. Certified mail receipts and letters to municipalities mailed on 8/25/21 to the following: Town Clerk, Town of Boswell. Town Clerk, Town of East Long. Town Clerk, Town of Ledger. New London Public Utilities. Norwich Public Utilities. City Clerk, City of Norwich. Norwich Water Department. Town Clerk, Town of Preston. Department of Public Health. Town Clerk, Town of Salem. Uncas Health District. Town Clerk, Town of Waterford. And Water Pollution Control Authority. Certified mail receipt and letter to New London Public Utilities mailed on 9/13/2021. Emails were sent to the Office of Long Island Sound Land and Water Research Division, also known as OLIS, dated August 23, 2021, and to the Southeastern Connecticut Council of Governments, SCOG, dated August 23. Comments letters were received from Samuel Alexander of Southeastern Connecticut Council of Governments, dated September 27, 2021, and a letter from Amy Christie of the Connecticut Department of Energy and Environmental Protection, dated September 28, 2021. The staff report dated September 28th, 2021, and the entire project folder. Next, I'd like to read the staff report. The applicant is Old Colchester Road LLC. The representatives are Keller, Heller, and McCoy. The requested action is to amend section 16.10.6 of the zoning regulations. The proposed text change is to add, however, that lots in the R40 zone may be developed in accordance with the following bulk requirements if served by public sewer and water. Lot frontage 80 feet, front yard setback 30 feet, rear yard setback 30 feet, side yard setback 10 feet. Planning analysis. Cluster development for the regulations are a minimum of 10 acres if sewers are available and 15 acres if not. Doing a little research, there's a total of 1,938 parcels that are zoned R40. Of those parcels, over 10 acres, 66, five of which have a rear portion with a WRP 160 zone. Minimum of 10 acres with sewer, there's four, with one of them already developed. Within the sewer avoidance area, there's 14, and where there's no sewer at this time, there's a total of 48. Currently under the cluster developments, the bulk requirement language reads, frontage, side yards, front yards, and rear yards may be reduced by 25%, see requirement in applicable zone. In no case shall any side yard be less than 10 feet, and no rear or front yard shall be less than 25 feet. Applicable height restrictions shall remain in effect. The table below shows a comparison of the reduction currently allowed under the cluster development and proposed. So you'll see a table here that has the existing R40 frontage, which is 150, the existing front and rear setbacks, which are 40, and the existing side setbacks, which are 15. With the current regulations, with the 25% reduction for the cluster, that would bring the frontage down to 112.5 feet, the front and rear size 30 feet, and the side yards to 15. The applicant is proposing that the frontage be reduced to 80 feet, the front and the rear be reduced to 30 feet, and the side yards be reduced to 10. Now, when you look at the other zones that are listed in the cluster development, what you notice with the 25% reduction is they always, in my head, it always goes a zone lower, but it's technically it's not the density that goes, it's the density itself. So we see that the frontage for the WRP 160 was 200, with 25% reduction, it goes down to 150. That 150 is actually less than the original frontage of the 120, the R120 zone. So the easiest way for how I always understood it is you always went to the zone that was above it. So in other words, the WRP 160 had more requirements for the R120, the R120 went down to the R80 went to the R40. Once you get to the R40 though, there wasn't as big as a change between the R40 and as the R20. So in comparison, the proposed reduction would be almost the same as the existing frontage on the setbacks of the R20 zone, except that the front and the rear setbacks would be reduced by 10 feet. The cluster development regulations, as stated in the regulations currently, are designed to encourage sound land use planning to reduce infrastructure costs, minimize the impact of natural resources on the community, and to preserve open space and promote reasonable housing costs. Currently, the lots that are being developed in the town are all frontage lots, since the cost of building a road is approximately $400 to $500 per linear feet of the road. No new subdivisions other than the Chapel Hill Road and an extension to Carroll Drive have been proposed within the past 5 years, give or take. This reduction of frontage would allow for the construction of shorter roads, which in turn reduces the project's cost. Then the maintenance cost to the town would also decrease. In addition, the smaller lots would be more affordable for the buyer. And that's, like I said, affordable, not affordable housing, affordable for somebody to purchase. Okay. And as we've been seeing with all the new regulation updates that the states have been providing and the new studies that they're requiring, this is something that the state has been encouraging. So we're looking for more diverse housing, diverse housing that allows actually people to afford them. Commissioner DeShano had mentioned at the last meeting that that the town should look into more housing for not necessarily seniors, but for populations that don't necessarily need a big house anymore because the kids are gone. They don't need a big yard anymore. So by doing this, by changing the R40 frontage and the side yards, it would create smaller lots and allow that developer to build houses that would better suit their needs. Staff recommends approval of the proposed amendment, section 16.10.6 of the zoning regulations. The proposal is consistent with the plan of conservation and development and the comprehensive plan.
Okay. Thank you, Colleen. We have the applicant here. Are there any questions for staff, or would you like to?
Just one question.
Sure.
I don't understand how the reducing the frontage ends up with shorter roads. Is that a shorter road into the house?
So right now the front, yes, because you would need to have frontage on a road currently. So say if we just look at the current now. Currently now, there has to be 150 feet of frontage. So you have to have 150
okay,
feet.
Yeah.
Then if you have a, for the new, you'll only have the 80 feet. So you only need to have 80 feet of frontage. That's how the roads would be.
Well, you end up with more yield per lineal foot of actual lot. The road may not end up actually physically shorter, but you'll end up with more lots per lineal foot.
Well, then that statement isn't true. It doesn't reduce the cost of the road. You're going to have as much frontage as you got for how many ever lots.
Well, by more yield of lots, technically the formula reduces the cost of the road per lot.
Okay.
So, I'm kind of curious. This is a pretty drastic change. I get developers want to make money. I get the business model. I get it. All right? But this is a pretty drastic change. And I'm just trying to understand, outside of somebody being very frank with everybody in the room here, outside of somebody wanting to put money in their pocket and make more money on a project, I'm not really sure the benefit of doing this. Mm. Now, I live on Pheasant Run, as you know. And those houses are nicely spaced. I certainly don't have frontage of 80 feet. None of us do. But my point is, there's a certain amount of the value of the neighborhood, the cluster itself, the attraction. It's one of the hottest selling neighborhoods in the area. 62 houses up there, Partridge, Sandpiper, Pheasant. It's one of the hottest developments in town when it comes up for sale. So I guess I'm trying to figure out the advantage to the town here, Colleen.
The advantage to the town would be more tax money because you can get,
you're getting a higher density. You're getting more lots per foot for road.
I get that, but the value of the house is going to go down also. So if you live in a house that's jammed up next to your neighbor by 10 feet on either side, that value of that property is significantly less than where I live.
You're building a different type of neighborhood than
a completely different model.
You're building a different type of neighborhood.
Different type of neighborhood.
The plan offers a diversity to housing. It's
right.
Not exactly where you live.
But I'm thinking of Oakdale Heights where I live, Bill. That's pretty close, right?
Yep. And
more like Mountain Manor.
Look where Tony lives at Jensen's. This is
right.
This is the Jensen model on town roads, is what this ends up.
I live in Oakdale Heights. I have 80 feet of frontage. So that's the size frontage.
Why don't we let the applicant present, and then may lend some information that we want to hear. And if not, we can have questions for the applicant, and we can continue to question Colleen. Make sense? Attorney Heller, would you like to present?
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission. My name is Harry Heller. I'm an attorney with an office at 736 Route 32 in Uncasville, and I'm representing the applicant, Old Colchester Road, LLC. This is an application for a text amendment. The Planning and Zoning Commission exercises legislative authority in two ways. You adopt regulations, and you also adopt a zoning map, and over time make amendments to both those regulations and the zoning map. In your legislative capacity, Connecticut courts grant planning and zoning commissions the widest range of discretion that you have in the actions that you take. In acting in your legislative capacity, you are charged by law to make a determination before you make a change, either in the zoning map or the zoning regulations, to make a finding that the proposal is in conformance with the comprehensive plan. The comprehensive plan is embodied in your zoning regulations and your zoning map as they have developed over time. That's the legal charge that you are faced with. The statute further requires that in acting on any legislative change, you must consider the plan of conservation and development that you have enacted. And because you're a combined planning and zoning commission, you act in both capacities, both as a planning commission in adopting your plan of conservation and development, and as a zoning commission in adopting regulations. The plan of conservation and development is a roadmap that you create in 10-year increments, and over that 10-year period, if you have consistency, will adopt regulations that promulgate the goals and initiatives delineated in the plan of conservation and development that you have enacted. In the application that's before you this evening, the applicant is requesting that you consider a text amendment. So your charge is as follows. Number one, you must make a determination that it's in conformance with the comprehensive plan. Number two, you must consider the plan of conservation and development that you have adopted, and in any action that you take on the application, make a finding on the record that either the action you have taken is consistent or is inconsistent with the plan of conservation and development. In acting in your legislative capacity, you must make a determination that the proposal benefits the town as a whole and not just the applicant. Now, the application deals with a proposed amendment to those provisions in the R and the cluster subdivision regulations in section 16.10 that deal exclusively with the R40 zoning district. And I want to read a couple of things to the commission because I think they're critical to the determinations that you're going to have to make on this application. The preamble to section 16.10 provides, the commission recognizes the concept of clustering dwelling units is neither new nor revolutionary in concept. The original New England villages were usually clustered around a village green. Today, these 17th and 18th century village homes are highly sought after, not only for their antiquity, but also of the amenities that their location affords. The common open space is still the hub of recreational activity, local markets, and service stores are usually within walking distance, and there is generally access to public transportation and or main arterials. In more recent decades, communities have experienced suburban and urban sprawl, perpetuated primarily by the cookie-cutter approach to subdivision development and the personal mobility which the automobile affords. Sprawl has proven to be costly to the community, the land developer, and the prospective home buyer. This regulation is designed to encourage sound land use planning, to reduce infrastructure costs, to minimize the impact on the natural resources of the community, to preserve open space, and to promote reasonable housing costs. I would submit to the commission that the proposal which is before you accomplishes all of those goals. I want you to think back. Most of you on this commission have been here for a significant period of time. Since 2008, we have not had one new road built in the town of Montville other than a short extension adding a cul-de-sac to Carroll Drive. During that period of time in this town, you have had two applicants come before you to terminate subdivisions that had been fully enabled by this commission, but simply did not make economic sense because of the cost of developing infrastructure improvements to support those lots. Over that 13-year period, I have terminated 9 subdivisions throughout southeastern Connecticut, one of which the applicant spent over $600,000 in having permitted. The reason is that the cost to develop a residential neighborhood with the infrastructure cost today is not supported by the lot value for the lot that's the final product of that endeavor. Colleen is correct in her assertion in the staff report that the cost of infrastructure for municipal road with utilities, both water and sewer, is close to $500 a linear foot. If you have a 150-foot lot, and in a perfect world, you're getting lots 75 feet on each side of the road, you're almost $40,000 in infrastructure for that 75 feet attributable to that length of road under your standard zoning regulations. Even under your existing cluster scenario, which allows a 25% reduction to 112.5 feet, the cost to develop the road remains prohibitive. The result is what you've seen over the last 13 years. The only residential development activity that you've had in this town are subdivisions subdividing on existing town road, where the developer bears no infrastructure cost. And I would submit to you that that is terrible development, and it is development that is inconsistent with your plan of conservation and development, because you are wasting the investment that this town has made in its infrastructure resources. The infrastructure resources are designed to allow land to be developed at depth, where you are maximizing the return on the investment of those infrastructure dollars, not to get linear development along existing town roads. When you look at your plan of conservation and development, there is a lot of statistical data in the plan that you've adopted, because this plan was adopted shortly after the housing crisis of 2008. But when you look at the goals enunciated in the housing section of the plan of conservation and development, they're remarkably similar to the preamble that I read into the record from the cluster section of your zoning regulations. And I'm reading from pages 116 of your plan of conservation and development. Housing investment areas. Action. Designate areas within sewer district boundary areas with existing public sewer systems for higher density development, i.e., lots less than 20,000 square feet. Diverse housing. Allow on a long-term basis for the development of diverse housing types, including affordable housing, to help address identified housing needs. Policy. Evaluate progress of units built under the town's existing affordable housing regulation. Include in housing investment areas on future land use plan map. Designate areas within sewer district boundary, areas with existing public sewer systems, for higher density development, i.e., lots less than 20,000 square feet. Now, I also call your attention to the fact that in your existing section 16.10 of your, which enables cluster developments in the town of Montville, on section 16.10.4 on page 120, states lots in the R40 zone may be reduced to 10,000 square feet if served by public sewer and water. The regulation that I am asking you to consider this evening only applies to lots that will be served by public water and sewer. So the existing regulation already allows lots that meet that infrastructure criteria with a lot area that is one half of what's allowed in the R20 zoning district. The reduction that the applicant is seeking in the regulations is critical if this commission believes what you wrote in your plan of conservation and development and want to encourage residential development in the town of Montville, appropriate residential development that'll be developed at depth, not linear development along existing town roads, because it has not happened and it will not happen at the lot frontage requirements that are currently required by your regulations, because it simply makes no economic sense for a developer to take that investment risk with the minimal return that can be realized with the infrastructure cost as it exists today. I would submit to you, one other thing I want to mention is that cluster development is not a use permitted by right, either in your R40 district or your R20 district. It is a use permitted by special permit. So in evaluating an application for a cluster subdivision, you must not only make a determination that the specific parameters of section 16.10 have been satisfied, but you must also make a determination that the special permit evaluation criteria that you're charged to consider on any special permit use have also been satisfied with respect to the application. When we drafted the proposal, we did not pull the 80-foot lot frontage out of thin air. The 80-foot frontage requirement was chosen because that is the lot frontage that you have specified in your legislative authority as a zoning commission for the R40 zoning district, most of which are served by public water and sewer in the town of Montville. So you've already made a legislative determination that where those utilities are present, you've appropriately zoned land in the R20 zoning district, and you've made a legislative determination that with that infrastructure available, an 80-foot lot frontage is an appropriate frontage to develop good residential development in the town of Montville. That is why we consider this proposal consistent with the plan, with the comprehensive plan of the town of Montville, because you have already made that legislative determination that where public water and sewer is available and you have zoned property in the R20 zoning district, that 80 feet is a reasonable amount of frontage in order to meet the broader parameters of zoning regulations, protecting property values, creating adequate room for light and air, and safety considerations. I would also point out that because the cluster regulations currently allow 10,000 square foot lots in a cluster in the R40 zoning district where water and sewer is available, you end up with the potential anomaly of a lot that has 112 feet of frontage but is only less than 100 feet deep. I believe it's 88 feet and change deep. So you have the potential to achieve lots that are not geometrically properly suited for good residential development with adequate front yard and backyard. I would submit that the proposal that is before you, where you get a more standard rectangular lot with 80 feet more or less of frontage and more lot depth, creates a more usable lot for residents in the community. And again, you've all been here for a number of years. You've seen a lot of proposals come before you. You all know that the minimum lot frontage is a theoretical yield. Because of the anomalies of Montville's topography and presence of wetlands, it is virtually impossible, unless you're in a cornfield, to get a lot every 80 feet. So natural topographic parameters create more spacing than the regulation will allow. I would also like to point out that this proposal, if adopted by the commission, will not increase density one housing unit, nor does the existing cluster development regulations in section 16.10. The yield is based on what is attainable under the existing Euclidean zoning regulations that you've adopted, not the cluster. What the cluster does is allow the developer to cluster that yield on smaller lots, putting land into open space in order to reduce infrastructure costs, which makes projects feasible for the developer and more affordable for the consumer. Now, there is a letter in opposition to this regulation that was submitted to the Planning Department today, and I want to address a couple of points in that letter that, in my opinion, are just outright false.
Attorney Heller, can we read the letter into the record, because the commission hasn't seen the letter at all yet.
Okay.
So could we wait till the public?
You want to read it into the record,
I'd like
and then
to the public comment portion, and then you can address it at that time.
That'll be fine.
Thank you.
Yeah. So again, we believe that this application is consistent with the comprehensive plan because it incorporates the parameters that apply to your R20 zoning district and incorporates bulk regulations consistent with that. We believe that it's consistent with the plan of conservation and development because the plan of conservation and development charges the commission to take initiatives that will encourage housing development in the town of Montville and make that housing development more affordable to potential buyers in our community. And lastly, I should point out that, as you're aware, the Connecticut legislature in this legislative session has adopted broad parameters charging planning and zoning commissions to adopt regulations which make housing more affordable throughout the state of Connecticut. This proposal is entirely consistent with that legislative mandate. So for all of those reasons, I would urge the commission to adopt this regulation. And as Colleen indicated, I would like to reserve comments at the end of the proceeding this evening. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for Attorney Heller before we go to the public at this time? We'll be back up again.
I do.
Go ahead.
Clarification, please, Attorney Heller. The term public water, what does that mean? So, for example, in my development, it's Squaw owns the water. Oakdale Heights, they have their own water. What does public water mean? Does that mean public water that the WPCA sells?
No. It means a water supply that is regulated under the PURA, the Public Utility Regulatory Authority. So it's a water system, but it's
so
not...
So it could be Squaw, then, in other words.
Oh, Squaw is one.
Squaw is one, right, okay.
Yeah, yes.
That's it, thank you. Thank you.
Commission members, any other questions at this time? Okay. Thank you. Would anyone like to speak in favor of this application? Would anyone like to speak in favor of the application? Would anyone like to speak in opposition to the application? Sure. Please just state your name and address for the record.
Good evening. My name is Richard George. I live at 974 Old Colchester Road here in Oakdale. I oppose this. I went through this same type of a task about 10 years ago, and that I have an old home here in town, and I was concerned that they were proposing to put a cluster around my house enabled and also behind me on Black Ash Swamp Road. And it was very, very hard to actually find out that the property was being developed. It was only when I saw them digging some test holes on adjacent to my property that I realized that somebody was trying to subdivide it. At that time, I went in to the planning and zoning and was able to purchase a set of the drawings of what was being proposed. I then had to go out and hire an attorney. I had to hire a surveyor. I had to hire a engineer. And I had to hire a botanist in order that I could have myself represented, not only before your group, but it had already been through the WPCA and was actually over into the wetlands already. So it was well along in the process of being approved. It was a very exasperating thing for me, not understanding all your rules and regulations and not understanding the, you know, the politics that goes along with these type of things. And it was almost 2 years that I asked to struggle, and again, it was a very expensive proposition. Now, my opposition, again, is that the fact that this would completely change the setting that my house is in. I'm currently have trees and woods around me, and that this would be impacted to where I would have houses that were of a more modern architecture than mine. And they, again, would be surrounding in at least two sides. And in one particular scenario, they had three sides of my house that they were going to be putting in clustered homes. They also were going to put a sewage pumping station just adjacent to the corner of my property. And that they had, actually, there were three completely different scenarios that they tried to do. That after me hiring an engineering company and having the sewage systems looked into, they didn't actually meet the town regulations. So it was a matter of going back through the WPCA and having them re-review and come to find out, no, they did not meet it. The first scenario ran down along Black Ash and into Deer Run, I believe it was, and emptied into a sewer system there. That did not have the capacity to take on the number of homes that they wanted to put in. A second scenario utilized two different pumping stations and that had a pumping station, again, on the old Colchester Road, right adjacent to my property, between me and a wetland. And anything that would have leaked or overflowed or any kind of a problem would have gone right into the wetland. The other pumping station was located on Black Ash Swamp Road, and it was at the low point there, about in the middle of Black Ash Swamp Road, and that's where the headwaters of Fox Brooks is. And that pumping station would have overflowed into the wetlands there. I'm concerned about the fact that I'm the only one here, probably from the public, that has a comment tonight, because it's very hard to follow the activities. And unless you're someone that reads what the minutes are of your meetings or comes to the meetings, it's hard to know about these things. Plus, it's hard sometimes to understand if it affects you or not. I'm sure that if there was more people in town that knew that their neighborhoods could be affected by this R40 change and having clusters come in, there would probably be more people here tonight. So I'm trying to represent them along with myself. And I'm concerned that it would drastically change the setting of my home. It would change the value of my home. And I'm concerned that it would bring in the fact that probably the adding more homes with the more children that come into town means it taxes the resources of our school system. And I'm not sure how beneficial it is for the amount of tax money that you would be able to collect for what it costs to educate school children. So I'm not against the town developing more property. I'm not against more people moving into town. But I would like to protect my property rights by being able to make sure that zoning laws aren't changed and modified so that it allows more homes to come in just for the sake of allowing more homes. I'm hoping that possibly that you can postpone the decision tonight and reschedule it for another time, and that I could get more people interested, because I know quite a few more people that would like to have an opportunity to speak here if they knew about it. I only found out about it myself yesterday. Unfortunately, I was unable to have my attorney come tonight because he had other commitments.
Thank you.
One other thing, that I understand that we're going to be getting a new planner in a very short time. And I'd also like to recommend that we postpone the decision and have the new planner be able to take a look at it and give he or she comments to whatever may be transpiring in town. Well, thank you for your time. And
yep, thank you for your comments. Is there anyone else in the public who would like to speak in opposition to the application?
Chairman Pinas?
Yes.
There is no other audience member, so if I could please read the letter into the record that was submitted on September 27, 2021.
Please do. Let me get you to turn up your volume just a little bit.
Oh, well, am I too soft today?
A little bit.
You tail off, Colleen, a little bit.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
All right. Last time I was too loud, today I'm too soft. I'll get it. This letter is dated September 27, 2021. This is the Montville Planning and Zoning Commission. Dear Commission members, I write in respect to application 221ZC3. Also, two copies were given to the Commission, so if you can just kind of read along, I just have to read it into the record. I write in respect to application 221Z3C, which appears on your September 28th, 2021 agenda, not only for a public hearing, but also for a decision. The proposal seeks to amend the cluster development section of your zoning regulations, section 16.10, as it applies in the R40 zoning district, which is distributed in many areas throughout the town of Montville. See zoning map attachment A. I am a Montville resident, as some of you know, and have been a land use practitioner for many years. As such, I represent several property owners with land situated in or adjacent to an R40 zoning district. Like many property owners, they rely on the general stability and predictability of the zoning regulations in respect to their own investment and improvement decisions. Currently, the cluster rules allow a 25% reduction in the bulk requirements for a given the zone, i.e. road frontage and side, front and rear yard setbacks, in exchange for 15% open space set aside, which in some circumstances may be comprised entirely wetlands that would not be developable in any case. The current reduction allowance is determined as follows. 16.10.6, bulk requirements. Frontage, side yards, front yards, and rear yards may be reduced by 25%, see requirement and applicable zone. In no case shall any side yard be less than 10 feet and no rear or front yard shall be less than 25 feet. Applicable height restrictions shall remain in effect. The application itself does not point out that in the R40 zone, the ordinary requirements are 8.5 minimum lot frontage. Each residential lot shall have at least 150 feet of frontage on a street. Cemeteries are not required to have frontage, but shall have a deeded access. 8.6, minimum setbacks. 8.6.1, front yard setback, front yard 40 feet, multifamily 40 feet. 8.6.2, side yard 15 feet, multifamily 20 feet. 8.6.3, rear yard 40 feet, multifamily 40 feet. Thus, the current cluster development requirements, whenever applied in the R40 zone, are frontage 112.550 feet, front yard 30 feet, side yard 11.25 feet single family, 15 feet multifamily, rear yard 30 feet. The applicant's proposed change would result in the following further reduced requirements in any R40 zoned area throughout the town. For any cluster development, if served by public sewer and water, per the application itself. Frontage, 80 feet. Front yard, 30 feet, but in no case less than 25 feet. Side yard, 10 feet. Rear yard, 30 feet, but in no case less than 25 feet. While the proposed further side setback reduction is marginal in the single-family context, albeit less so in multifamily instances, the obvious major change being proposed is that the frontage requirement will be reduced to barely more than half, 80 feet, of what is currently required in the R40 zone, 150 feet, if proposed cluster development is served by public sewer and water. The question becomes, what areas of the R40 zone are served by sewer and water? Your current 2010 Plan of Conservation Development, POCD, contains a map entitled Sewer Avoidance Areas, Figure 42, Attachment B to this letter. When read together with the zoning map, a reasonable person might conclude that the sewer avoidance map in the current POCD depicts the areas to which sewer service will never be extended, which would at least narrow the question. For purposes of future reliance, of where any double density development might occur. However, the current POCD sewer avoidance map does not really settle that question, as there is now a different version available from the Montville Planning Office with some minor changes titled Sewer Avoidance Area Figure, Attachment C. It is possible that the latter map is intended to be part of the next POCD that this commission has not yet been enacted, but in any case, the difference shows that the extent of the sewer avoidance area is not static. To add to the confusion, on May 3rd, 2021, the Town of Montville Water and Sewer Commission, sometimes called the WPCA, approved the 2021 sewer service area map to be submitted to the Town Planning and Zoning Department, the Connecticut Deep, and State OPM per Connecticut General Statute, see minutes page 12 of 14, attachment D. That commission's discussion seems to clarify that the map before it depicted not only the actual service area of 2021, but also specifies the locations of existing sewers and unsuitable areas for them, and is thus effectively the same map as attachment C. This would mean that the present proposed further reduction per application 221 ZC3 of the already reduced R40 road frontage and setbacks for cluster valve would apply in R40 districts throughout the town of Montville, not only where public sewer and water service currently exists, but however in the future the WPCA might decide that they should exist. This would effectively delegate further land use decisions as to the availability of the proposed further reductions for cluster developments in the R40 districts to the WPCA rather than the Planning and Zoning Commission. A cynic might conclude that such a delegation of the Planning and Zoning Commission's powers to the WPCA, whether or not lawful, would have the effect of ensuring that a decision allowing reduction of the R40 lot frontages is made not before the Planning and Zoning Commission in the usual public manner, but rather away from public scrutiny, because it would take place before a different commission that no ordinary lay person would ever expect such a decision to be made by. Before any application based on the further reductions would come before the Planning and Zoning Commission upon the usual notice procedure. In effect, the current proposal would not only tie the hands of this commission, whatever decisions are made by the WPCA to allow a sewer extension in R40 areas, but ultimately ties the hands of members of the public who might have something to say about future cluster development applications when they come before this commission, only to find that in significant part, approval has already occurred elsewhere. This commission should not approve regulation amendments so cryptic as those being proposed, where an ordinary resident is unable to decipher the criteria that a particular application must satisfy, nor ones that effectively delegate planning and zoning authority to another commission. More to the point, the zoning regulations do not exist to serve the purpose of a particular project, developer, or applicant. Rather, everyone is entitled to rely on the regulations in making decisions to purchase or invest in improvements, in knowledge of the rules that must be satisfied before something can be built next door or across the street. Application 221ZC3 has the opposite effect. By making the question of what can be developed in an R40 zone an ever-moving target without certainty, grounded in this commission's own regulations and its ordinary processes, notice procedures, and rights of timely appeal. It may be that the particular applicant, Old Colchester Road LLC, has who has submitted application 221Z33, intends to propose changes to benefit a particular property or project. If limited in scope as such, the reductions might have merit. Possibly the reason for seeking them relates to a particular hardship, in which case a remedy might be sought from the Zoning Board of Appeals. Or perhaps there should be a special zoning district for R40 areas currently served by sewer and water, or for just some of those areas, in which the sort of reductions proposed by the applicant would apply or not apply, as determined by the Planning and Zoning Commission. Finally, it is my understanding that a new town planner will very soon fill the current vacancy within a matter of days. Surely a matter as significant as the proposed permanent delegation to the WPCA of decisions as to where certain R40 bulk reductions would be available, variable at any time, the WPCA may choose to extend sewer service in areas where water public is available, is a matter in which the interests of the public would benefit from review by the new planner before the public hearing application 221Z33 is closed, and certainly before any decision is made. Yours very truly, John B. Chase.
Okay. Thank you.
That's going to be entered as public exhibit number one.
Okay. Thank you, Colleen. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition to the application? Is there anyone who would like to speak in favor of the application?
Again, for the record, Harry Heller, representing the applicant. I want to just address a few points in the letter that was read into the record. First, it states, which in some circumstances, may be comprised entirely of wetlands that would not be developable in any case. Your regulations require that before you can consider wetland areas to be open space, which qualifies under the dedication requirement of 16.10, that those wetlands must be deemed significant by your Municipal Inland Wetlands and Watercourses Agency. So it's not every wetland that may qualify. It's only after review and an opinion from the Inland Wetlands and Watercourses Commission that those wetlands are both deemed valuable and require the protection of being placed in an open space area. I would also point out that the regulations require that a minimum of 5% of the open space be dedicated open space, which is available for active recreation. The bulk requirements that are cited from section 8.6, I would just point out, because the multifamily setbacks are cited here, multifamily setbacks are inapplicable to this application because multifamily dwelling units are not permitted in cluster subdivisions under your regulations. It indicates, for purposes of future reliance, of where any double density development might occur. No double density development is proposed anywhere. As I stated earlier, the density which can occur under your cluster regulations is no greater than the density that can occur in a standard subdivision. The density is based upon the 40,000 square foot lot size and the bulk area of the parcel for which the subdivision is proposed. There's several paragraphs in here that talk about delegation of authority from the Planning and Zoning Commission to the Water Pollution Control Authority. That simply is not the case. The Water Pollution Control Authority is in charge of water and sewer in the town of Montville. The Planning and Zoning Commission is in charge of the planning functions under Chapter 126 of the statutes and the zoning functions under Chapter 124. Not only in Montville, but virtually in every town, sewer, which is an infrastructure resource, is a critical component of land use planning. Obviously, when you consider any application that comes before you, whether it's a subdivision, a site plan, a special permit application, you must consider the infrastructure resources that are available, whether or not they're sufficient for the purpose proposed, and whether the application is appropriate under the regulations that you've adopted. As I indicated earlier, cluster subdivisions are not permitted as of right under your zoning regulations. They are permitted by special permit only. So in evaluating a special permit application, you must consider the evaluation criteria contained in section 16.3, I believe it is, of your regulations in order to make a determination that those general evaluation criteria have been satisfied, that the infrastructure can support the development, that it will not have an adverse impact on property values, and those other general evaluation criteria. Those are determinations solely yours, solely of the Zoning Commission exercising the zoning function, or in the case of a subdivision, acting in your capacity as a planning commission, exercising your function as a planning commission under Chapter 126. Because a cluster subdivision is both a zoning application, a special permit application under the zoning enabling statute, and a subdivision under the subdivision statute, you're exercising that authority and discretion in both capacities. There's an inference in this letter that zoning regulations are intended to be static. I couldn't disagree more. If it was intended that zoning regulations be static, the legislature would not have adopted specific enabling legislation authorizing zoning commissions to change zoning regulations when time and circumstances change. Zoning regulations are intended to regulate land use to serve the greater good of the public as a whole. When time and circumstances require zoning regulation changes in order to address those needs, it is the function and charge of the Planning and Zoning Commission to make those changes in order to address the societal needs that may present themselves over time. And when you're considering this text amendment, you must consider whether or not this is appropriate in any R40 zoning district that qualifies in the town of Montville. This is not a property-specific application. It's a town-wide amendment to the zoning regulations. However, in your staff report, Colleen has identified the parcels which meet the parameters that this regulation would currently apply to. Very, very limited in scope. I do not disagree that it's possible, although unlikely, that sewers get extended by the town to other areas. The last time we had a sewer extension, I believe, was in 1990 or 91, when it was extended up Gay Hill Road and to serve the Cottonwood development across the street from Montville High School. We haven't had a municipal sewer extension since then. So it's not something that happens every 2 months or every 2 years. But in the event that it does happen, then you would be called upon to exercise your discretion in your zoning capacity under the special permit evaluation criteria in order to determine whether or not that development proposed at that in those geometric parameters are appropriate for the location in which they're proposed. So again, I believe that this application complies with the permitting requirements. I think it is a benefit to the town of Montville. I believe Commissioner Pike asked what benefit does the town derive. Development is good for the economy. It is good for a community. It brings new blood into the community. It brings vibrance to the community. Significant cluster development could add $28 to $30 million into the economy. The multiplier effect is 8 to 10 times as that money churns its way through the economy. A significant cluster development can have a huge impact on the economy, both of the town and the region. So I think that this is a good proposal. I think it is a proposal which will incentivize developers to consider developing in Montville, because there may be an economic return where there is no economic return under your current regulations unless developers are developing on existing town road. And I'd urge you to approve it. Thank you.
Okay. Commission members, do you have any questions, further questions of the applicant?
Just one.
Mr. Longton, go ahead.
One question. The particular parcel, which would be the kickoff for this change, has sewer available on it now.
That is correct.
All right. So is the current capacity of that sewer line sufficient for the proposed development?
The answer to that is yes. It would interconnect, and again, I don't want to talk specifics.
Understood.
But you have an interceptor line that comes down from Montville Manor down through the Oxabaxo Valley. I believe that's either a 30 or a 36-inch line, which has huge capacity.
Thank you.
Tony, any questions for the applicant?
I didn't understand the part. Developers build roads into their own areas like they did across the street from Hillcrest. You're not considering that a development? Or you kind of implied nobody's, you know, building roads or things.
Millbrook is a different situation because that's not town road. So they're building the road to a little bit different specification. But also look at the ratio of lot frontage to linear foot of road that you have in Millbrook. It is exactly what we're proposing in this regulation.
But have you seen what they did up there with the development, from what they said they were going to do with the carports, and they were supposed to have garages, and then they got the waiver for, you know, not two parking spaces? I mean, this all comes into play eventually. I know in Hillcrest, houses are 10 foot apart from the property line, but the windows are melting some of the houses next door because of the vinyl siding. Hmm. I mean, so, you know, them are issues not too many people are considering. Thank you.
Was that a statement or a question?
No, that was a statement of fact.
Commissioner Pike, any questions for the applicant?
Just curious, is there public water? I don't know why this is so mysterious. Can you tell us where this is?
Yeah, I can, but you shouldn't consider it.
I don't want to consider that. Yeah. Then. Okay, is there public water available?
Yes.
Thank you. That's all I have.
Yeah, and based on that statement, understand that the application in front of us tonight is an application for a text amendment to our zoning regulations. This isn't an application for a subdivision. It's not an application for a special permit to get permission for a cluster. It's an application to change the language of that particular text should it come forward. So we're not making any decisions on any particular project. We're not approving a project. It's strictly the text amendment that we'd be taking action on, okay? Just for clarity. Commissioner Estelle, any questions for...
Yeah, it's been mentioned a couple of times, and I'm just curious why we wouldn't be doing... Why the particular project wouldn't be coming before us. Why are we making a blanket change to the zoning regulations when I think what I'm hearing from the public and what I'm hearing some questions up here, why aren't we making individual decisions for individual projects?
That's a multi-response question. First, because I believe, as a proponent of this application, that this regulation is good not only for this project, but is good for the town of Montville and will encourage development in the town of Montville at depth off of linear development along existing roads that we haven't had in a long period of time. Secondly, because that's what the process requires. We're not going to bring this project forward under the existing regulations because it doesn't make economic sense to my client to even engineer the project, because at a lot value, which right now for a standard building lot in Montville, you're somewhere between $45,000 and $50,000. At that lot value, developing that amount of road frontage to get lots, there's just no return in it for the developer.
I guess that doesn't quite answer my question. Why aren't we considering your developer's project specifically? Instead of doing the blanket change to the zoning regulations, why can't they or you bring to the commission specifics for that project first to consider, or maybe that goes to the Zoning Board of Appeals?
It can't go to the Zoning Board of Appeals because, and again, that's something that was mentioned in this letter. Mm-hmm. It's just legally incorrect. The Zoning Board of Appeals is required to make a determination that an unusual hardship or exceptional difficulty applies to the property in question that does not generally apply to properties similarly situated in the zone. The applicant can't meet that burden because there is no legal. An economic hardship by law is not a hardship that can be considered by the Zoning Board of Appeals. It has to be something unique to the land. That situation does not exist here. So it's not a legal path that could possibly be followed.
In addition, there's no waivers that the commission could provide that which could say, okay, we can reduce the frontage for you, but not you. Does that make sense? But
without the zone change, we couldn't apply this.
Without the zone text change.
Go ahead.
But yes, to Attorney Heller's point, it still requires a special permit for this legislative body, which might not get approved even though the regulations have been changed.
Correct.
That's right. You have
to. I just want to be clear on that. Okay.
Yeah, you have to consider those evaluation criteria when
a project
comes before you.
You want to hypothetically look at this, and though you should not be considering any particular project in the decision that you make here, you know, should this get changed, a hypothetical project that wants to come in using this new zone text amendment has to then go to step B, get the special permit for cluster. Then, if they were to get that grant, it still has to come forward with a site plan approval. So, you know, this by no means blesses any final project here.
So, one of the things I had read the letter, and I was going to talk about a little bit about the map that we gave in the staff report. It kind of gives a visual of the areas where it's not focusing necessarily on one piece of property. It's more of it's a visual of kind of the areas where it could, where the sewer goes. And where the R40 is, and like I said, it is not a blanket over all the R40 zone because of the fact that not all the R40 zone meets the cluster requirements, which is the 10 or the 15 acres.
Right.
So
right. We
take that and then we reduce it down, and then we get the numbers that I stated on the record before. So like I said, it's not the total R40 zone, because that might be a little bit confusing to everybody as well. There's a specific number with the cluster itself that you have to acreage-wise.
Currently in the town, we have three parcels that are in this R40 zone that would be applicable, that have both water and sewer. So the remaining R40, this doesn't even apply to. It wouldn't even be a candidate for this. So, again, just for clarity.
Well, that's because there's existing water and sewer there, right?
Right, that's correct.
Which could be changed to have it water and sewer in the future, correct?
Again.
So we'd open up other R40 properties. You could, but, okay. But again, you know, that's plan of development, that's right. WPCA plan of expansion, that's the walk water distribution plan, et cetera, so exactly. There's only three right now that apply to this. Commissioner Jardins, any questions for the applicant?
I don't feel like.
Commissioner Lundy?
No.
Commissioner DeShano, any questions?
Yeah, I actually did have a question. So I'm looking at the R40 properties over 10 acres with location to sewer. If I'm looking here, and I was trying to count them, and the chairman, I believe, said there's three.
With water.
Okay. With
sewer and water.
Right, which is what this is a representation of, the blacked out ones.
So the greener outlines, there's actually a couple,
Right.
This one, and then the
And then there's three. There's three there, and then there's one. Now, that one that looks like it could possibly be down on Old Colchester Road, is that over 10 acres?
I need to see what you're looking at.
Let somebody look at the parcel.
Where we are in this.
So I'm looking here, Harry. I'm looking at that. These look like there could possibly be three, and then this one here must be over 10 acres with water and sewer, and that would be Old Colchester.
That's developed already.
It is. Yeah. It is. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
This is Old Colchester.
So the map shows the existing location of the sewer.
This is 163, isn't it?
It shows R40 property over 10 acres that have access to water and sewer. So there's only four pieces of property that fall in. Oh, with just sewer. Ah, okay.
Okay. This is the model.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Any other questions for the applicant? Okay.
And I'd just like to say one more thing. This is a legislative action of the commission. I think the parameters are established for you to consider. I don't see any reason to continue the public hearing this evening. Obviously, that's within your discretion whether or not you do so, but I think you have sufficient information to make a decision. And thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay.
Just so the commission knows how the map was derived, it was taking the information that was given from the WPCA that was provided to us in the GIS format. If it said if it was in a sewer service area, that's where it got the green. If it wasn't in a sewer service area, or if it was in the sewer avoidance area, this is the map that the WPCA gave us. That's kind of how we came up with the magic numbers.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay, we've got all our questions out. I'd entertain a motion to close the public hearing.
So move.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I mean, the gentleman thought he might bring more people to the next meeting. This shuts them down.
And also,
they wouldn't get to speak at the next meeting or whenever we act on this.
Yeah.
Just pointing that out.
Okay.
I'll agree with Tony. Having a new planner coming in, maybe to have a look at this as well.
Okay. So we have a motion. We have a second. Let's vote and let the vote decide to close or keep the public hearing open.
Hopefully we want to do it.
So all in favor of?
We do a roll call, Andy?
Yeah.
All in favor of closing the public hearing? John, please do the roll call.
Okay, roll call vote. William Pinias?
I'm in favor.
Tony Saragusa?
No.
Bruce DeShano?
Favor.
Okay. John Estelle?
In opposition.
Opposition.
Chuck Longton?
Favor.
Favor. Will Pike?
Oppose.
Oppose?
Sarah. Oppose.
Opposition. I oppose.
Yeah, Will Pike. Sarah Lundy?
In favor.
In favor. And John Jardis? Oppose. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Motion does not carry.
That's the draw. I believe we have to keep it open.
I'm sorry?
It's because it's, I think there's a 2/3 vote. Are we not?
I'm sorry, so.
Keep it open.
Yeah, keep it open.
So the public hearing will remain open.
There's a 2/3 vote, but I think that's the might be for the decision. Hold on.
I don't know the answer.
I don't either.
Point blank.
I don't know what it is. I don't either.
I don't either.
I do not know what that means.
May I?
Please.
The motion was to close the public hearing. It didn't carry. So the public hearing remains open.
Yeah. All right. Not that.
Very good. Thank you for
that, those are Robert's rules of order.
So the public hearing will remain open.
Yeah.
Will be continued for the next meeting. Very good. Right. We're going to move on to agenda item 5B, which is discussion and decision, which isn't going to happen because we continue the public hearing. We're going to move on to agenda item 5C. Excuse me?
Good night.
Well, I don't think we need to.
Okay.
Oh, Harry made it clear. It's Robert's rules.
Yeah.
Well, it's a different agenda item. That's why. It's not the same agenda item.
Okay.
It's a different agenda item.
Very, very good point.
Oh, you're right.
Okay. So let me backtrack. So agenda item 5B, the discussion and decision for the applicant, Old Colchester Road LLC, proposed zoning regulation text amendment to section 16.10.6 to amend text to add after the word zone, however, that lots in the R40 zone may be developed in accordance with the following bulk requirements if served by public sewer and water. Lot frontage 80 feet, front yard setback 30 feet, rear yard setback 30 feet, side yard setback 10 feet. Entertain a motion to continue.
Move to continue.
Okay.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone oppose? Okay. 5B will be continued. Thank you, Colleen. 5C, the applicant, Town of Mont, will propose amendments to the zoning regulations. Number one, the preamble, amend. Number two, the Route 32 Overlay Zone, Section 14.8.3D, add for two-bedroom units and one space for an efficiency or one bedroom after the word spaces. Number three, parking requirements, section 18.3.1, add containing two bedrooms and one space for each family unit containing one bedroom after unit. Number four, section 18.3.2, for multifamily dwellings, add the word minimum before parking requirements, add the number one, delete the number two before space for one bedroom unit, add two, delete two and a half before spaces for each unit with two bedrooms. Excuse me. So the public hearing is open for these proposed amendments to the zoning regulations. Colleen.
Oh boy.
I'd like to enter the following into the record. Copy of the proposed amendment to the zoning regulation. Proposed amendment to the zoning regulations posted in the town clerk's office on 8/31/2021. Copy of the legal ad published on the town website on September 17th, 2021. Copy of the legal ad published in the day on September 17th, 2021. And September 24th, 2021. Certified mail receipts and letters to the municipalities mailed on 8/25/2021 to the following. Town Clerk, Town of Basra. Town Clerk, Town of East Lyme. Town Clerk, Town of Ledyard. New London Public Utilities. Norwich Public Utilities. City Clerk, City of Norwich. Norwich Water Department. Town Clerk, Town of Preston. Department of Public Health, Town Clerk, Town of Salem, Uncas Health District, Town Clerk, Town of Waterford, and Mountainville Water Pollution Control Authority. Certified mail receipt and letter to the New London Public Utilities mailed on 9/13/2021. Email sent to the Office of Long Island Sound, Land and Water Resources Division, OLIS dated August 23rd, 2021. And from the Southeastern Connecticut Council of Governments, SCOG dated August 24th, 2021. Comment letters received from letter from Samuel Alexander of the Southeastern Connecticut Council of Governments dated September 27th, 2021, with no concerns. And a letter from Amy Quispy of the Connecticut Department of Environment, Energy and Environmental Protection dated September 28th, 2021. Her comments will be explained in the staff report. Staff report dated September 28th, 2021 in the entire project folder. The last meeting we had with all the changes, we went back into the office and tried to make it a little bit easier for everybody to understand because everybody's eyes were glazing over the last time we were here. So hopefully we've made it a little easier this time. During the 2021 session of the Connecticut General Assembly, there were revisions made to the Zoning Enabling Act. The new provisions are contained in Public Act 21-29. These provisions are mandatory and become effective on October 1st. The new mandatory provisions that must be contained in the zoning regulations are protection of the state's historic tribal cultural environmental resources, consideration of the impact of permitted land uses on contiguous municipalities and on the planning region, addressing significant disparities in housing needs and access to educational, occupational, and other opportunities, promoting efficient review of land use applications, further the purpose of the Federal Fair Housing Act, which prohibits discrimination based on race, color, national origin, religion, sex, familial status, or disability, eliminate the provisions that allow consideration of the character of the district to be instead be drafted with reasonable consideration as to the physical and site characteristics of the district and its particular suitability for particular uses, shall allow the development of housing which meet the housing needs identified in the state housing plan and consideration of public and ground drinking water. So, Chair McKinney has made recommendations that we break these down into each one a separate bullet under the agenda item. So agenda item C1 is to address the mandatory list changes to the preamble of the regulations as amended to include the wording that covered each of the bullet topics above. Okay, so on your first page of the staff report, that is the current wording of the preamble. It states right now. Okay. The new wording will add 6 line down, including water dependent uses as defined in section 22-93. In addition, it will remove the word and after the location, you're going to put the, so in other words, it will say the height, size, location, brightness, and illumination of advertising signals and billboards. So brightness and illumination, and billboards are new. We're getting rid of the word and. Then we have to add this in accordance with the comprehensive plan and in consideration of the plan of conservation and development, and be designed to lessen congestion in the streets. We're getting rid of the word to. So some of the stuff that was in there before, we're just kind of putting in the semicolons and going and doing it that way. So we're getting rid of the to. So it'll continue to say to secure safety from fire, panic, flood is new, and other dangers, promote health and general welfare, provide adequate light and air, prevent overcrowding of land to avoid undue concentration of population, protect the state's historic, tribal, cultural, and environmental resources, facilitate adequate provisions for transportation, water, sewage, schools, parks, and other requirements. Then we get into the whole reasonable consideration for the protection of existing and potential public surface and ground drinking water supplies, consider the impact of permitted land uses on the continuous municipalities of the planning region in which the town is located, address significant disparities in housing needs, and access educational, occupational, and other opportunities, promote efficient review of proposals and applications, and affirmatively further the purpose of the Federal Fair Housing Act, 42 USC 3061, as amended from time to time, and with reasonable consideration as to the physical and site characteristics of the districts and their particular suitability for particular use. So we had to get rid of the removal of the word character. And it ends with of the districts and the particular suitability for particular use, and with the view to encourage the most appropriate use of land throughout said town. One of the notes that was brought back by Amy from the land use from OLIS was she had indicated that she would like to see, in addition to the flood, she would also like to see impact associated with climate change. Her specific wording for the reason for that is while the proposed language adds flooding to the list of safety considerations in the preamble, we also recommend the list be broadened to include consideration of other impacts associated with climate change. For example, any low-lying area along the Thames River could be subject to sea level rise as projected by the Connecticut Institute of Resilience and Climate Adaptation, CIRCA, otherwise known as CIRCA. They recommend that the Connecticut towns plan for up to 20 inches of sea level rise by 2050. In addition, their findings that areas that the currently experience flooding every few years now should expect flooding multiple times a year by 2050. This is another one of the plans that's going to be coming out that we have to update for the town. One of many that's going to be coming up. So she would like to have that word, the impacts associated with the climate change included. Also, to help in amending the regulation, I looked at Chapter 124, Section 8-2, which refers to the authorizations that the town can regulate and revise it accordingly. The commission may want to add to include, after the proposed text, where it says, to address the significant disparities in housing needs and access to educational, occupational opportunities, we may want to add, which will match it better with what the state already has, as identified by the state's consolidated plan for housing and community development, prepared pursuant to Section 8-37T and in the housing component and other components of the state plan of conservation development, prepared pursuant to Section 16A-26. It's a lot of wording. It's mandatory.
I didn't understand the climate change part. They want to put words in there? Who wants it?
That's the office of Long Island Sound has to review any changes we make because we're located within the canyon. They indicated that they would like to see it. Doesn't mean you have to.
It's not in what we got.
No, they would like you to see it because of the fact that the state is recommending that Connecticut towns plan for the sea level rise and changes, we're going to have to do some type of a climate study. So they're saying that if you want to put, that she's asking that we put it in, but it's not.
Okay.
It's just a recommendation.
Thank you. I didn't understand that.
No problem. It's a lot of work. I'm not going to lie. But we pretty much have to have it because it's mandated by the regulation that was passed down recently. Does any of the commissioners have any questions about it? Oh, Commissioner Pike.
I do, only because is there such a thing as a historic district anymore, or has that been deleted?
Well, we still have to look at historic information because we have to, if we're going to be doing our sustainability portion of it, we have to look into historic buildings and resources. So we may not have a historic district, but we have historic resources. So in other words, down here, we do have a historic district. It's the Oxo Brook Mill District. That's what it's called.
That's
been done by quote me on this because I don't remember if it's from the federal or if it's from the state historic society. So we do have that, which would include the mill, Pickers Pond Dam, part of Pink Row, and part of Blumenthal. But I think you're thinking of the historic district that was up by the church.
I was just thinking historic district in general in a community.
Originally, we were trying to work up some type of historical district up by the church.
Yeah, by the Montville Center.
I'm sorry, Montville Congregational Church.
Montville Center.
We had looked at that the last POCD. We kind of took that out of it for this one.
It sounds like we're just removing it.
Say that one more time. My brain didn't process that. The state says we have to include this.
Protect the state's historical, tribal, cultural, and environmental resources.
Yep.
What does that mean?
So in other words, we have to try to protect any historic resources we have. We have to look when we have plans into the tribal, the cultural, and all the environmental resources. So we now have to look at all of that when we're deciding the applications, which we kind of do. We always look at this. The majority of the stuff, of the changes that are being made, we kind of do already in the application process and when we review the applications and when it's presented to the commissions.
So farther down in the preamble where it says remove the character, that doesn't affect historic.
Say that again.
At the very end of the preamble proposed wording, it says physical site characteristics, the character has been...
Yes, they want to get rid of the word character. They don't like the word character anymore for some reason. It's districts.
Okay. I'm just trying to figure out if we have a historic district preserved here by the state, or the state saying we don't have anything now, it's free game. That's what I'm trying to understand here. Sorry, I really need to figure that out in my head.
And I have to try to figure out in my head what you're trying to tell me, what you're trying to ask, so...
Historic district. Let me give an example. It's not relevant to the state of Connecticut. In Vermont, I live in an historic district.
Yep.
These are old, stately, early Vermont homes that are in a district. Do you have to have your house painted a certain color?
No, we don't have any of those. Did I cut you off? Because that's the question.
Yeah, historic districts require certain zoning, can only be done in those districts. Windows, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, like the Manfield Center.
We currently do not have
that. Okay, I got it. We're good.
We don't have that.
Okay. Sorry for taking so long, Commissioner.
No. Again, I think your office was notified recently of that former Faria, presently Dakota Mill project as being, called a historic area, but... the town hasn't ordained any official historic district to town.
We have historic buildings.
We have historic buildings.
Yeah. Yeah. We have a lot of them. There's a historical society, or there used to be, but no one's created a historical district formally. Go ahead, Colleen.
Okay. So staff recommends approval of the proposed changes to the preamble with the possible addition of the wording as identified by the state's consolidated plan for housing and community development prepared pursuant to section 8-37T and in the housing component of other components of the state plan of conservation and development prepared pursuant to section 16A-26. And also to address the questions that were done by Ms. Crispio, the Office of Long Island Sound. Now, with that being said, we do specifically say address significant disparities in housing needs and access to additional educational, occupational, and opportunities. So we hit on what the important part is. The other part is if the commission wants to actually reference the state statutes or not. So if we want to keep it a little general, which still, I believe, is going to hit the mark of what we need to do, we don't have to change it at all. And the same thing with Commissioner Sarah Goose's question, if we had to change it to add in the climate change. We don't have to. That's a recommendation. We don't have to add it. That's totally up to us. So those are two items to look at, okay?
Does our POC, I'm sorry, can I ask a question?
No, go right ahead, sir.
Does our POCD have a plan to address the recommended language?
Climate change? Or?
Nope.
We have to do it so we are going to be, one of the things that we have to do is we're going to be looking at an affordability housing study. That's one of the ones we have to do. In addition, I believe there's another one we have to do, but I don't know what the name of it is quite off the top of my head. And unfortunately, within the past couple months, the state keeps giving us more and more stuff to do. So that's why, unfortunately, some of this stuff wasn't able to be done at the last meeting, because as soon as we had put in the public hearing notice, this all popped up. And there's a whole bunch of other stuff that's coming down the pipeline that's going to have to be looked at and thought about and changed as well.
Colleen, if I could ask you this question on behalf of the commission so we can all have a good idea as to the urgency of this here. Is there a clock ticking on this change being made, and are we in violation of
It says it's supposed to be in effect October 1st. So what?
Go ahead.
It becomes a state. The state has enacted it. It becomes effective October 1st. For us, technically, it's going to become October 18th. So those 18 days, I think, will be fine for us. Because of the fact that we still have to have a 15-day waiting period after this before it hits.
So I guess the question is, does this need to be resolved this evening?
Yes.
In order for you to make a deadline that the state requires us to make regarding this?
Yes.
Okay. So,
well, we got to decide those two issues, you said.
Okay.
I don't care.
All right, I just want everybody to be clear that this is something
we just decided and
kicked down the road.
All the ones going tonight are all the same. They
okay.
All have the actual
so all these items under this item 5C, you need to address and get an answer on this evening. Okay.
So my point in asking the question about whether or not we have a clear plan to address significant disparities in housing needs and such and such and such, is that my feeling is that we should omit it unless we do have a very clear plan, because if we include this, then we're beholden to it. Like, does our plan match with the section of the state plan that we're mentioning? If it doesn't entirely, then we're saying that we will do it. I don't want us to be accountable to do something.
That's an excellent point you're making.
No,
absolutely. It's an excellent point you're making.
So you're saying we don't be the verbiage as
a... Yes.
But in other words, keep the verbiage that they want, to keep the condensed verbiage and get rid of the...
Just do not include the underlined italicized.
Perfect.
Okay
with that. I agree.
Okay. So, again, we're in a public hearing, so...
Well, one only.
Are you going to go through all four of these, or are we going to hit them one at a time, Colleen?
Well, can we make note on the record that there is no public present other than Mrs. Saragusa?
She only talks when I talk.
Well, let's keep it totally legal. So I'm going to go to the public for agenda item 5C1. Yep. Is there anyone in the public who would like to speak in favor of this application? Is there anyone who would like to speak in favor? Is there anyone who would like to speak in opposition? Is there anyone who would like to speak in opposition? Okay. I'm going to go to the commission members. Do we have a general consensus of how we would like to read this to read? So,
well, we still got to decide those two points. Do we want climate change in there?
Right, that's what I'm asking.
Well, let's decide that.
That's what I'm asking you. You don't want climate change.
And I don't want the reference to the state regulation.
Italicized, which I agree with Commissioner Lundy on.
Okay. Is it a general consensus that... Bruce?
Yep.
John?
Yep.
Chuck? Okay. Yes. So
general consensus is the preamble is going to stay as is and no additional modifications are going to be made to it. As is, as in the proposed changes and no additional changes.
No additional changes, correct.
Correct.
Correct?
Correct.
Correct.
We good on that?
Correct.
Okay. So we will vote on that when we go to the next.
Yes.
Section, but let's put that one to rest. Okay, so let's go to 5C2, Colleen. Thank you.
So the next set of revisions under the Public Act 2129 is that the zoning regulations cannot require more than one parking space for a studio or one bedroom or more than two parking spaces for a dwelling unit with two or more bedrooms unless the commission decides that they want to opt out of this. If the commission wants to opt out of this, there is a process in order to opt out of it. One is the commission that actually would have to have a vote by 2/3 of the commission to initiate the opt-out process, okay? Second was another public hearing would have to be held specifically for the opt-out process. Then you would need 2/3 of the vote of that commission to opt out. Then that gets sent to the town council, and the town council has to ratify it by a 2/3 vote of the town council. Okay? So the sections that are affected by the specific number of bedrooms and associated parking are, which is agenda item C2, is the 14A-3 subsection D, the Route 32 overlay zone. The current text has all living units shall require two parking spaces except as otherwise approved by the commission pursuant to section 18.2.2 of the regulations. The modified text would be all living units shall require two parking spaces for two bedroom units and one space for an efficiency or one bedroom, except as otherwise approved by the commission pursuant to section 18.2.2 of the regulations. The reason why the commission should look at possibly adding this new text is the fact that the Route 32 overlay zone is going to allow for multifamily units, okay? Now, a multifamily unit could be a one-bedroom apartment, a two-bedroom apartment, a three-bedroom apartment, or it could be three units that have, two have one unit, two have two units. So that would adapt, instead of just say all units shall require two parking spaces, if for some reason there is a one bedroom in there, we can say that the one bedroom or the efficiency can have the one bedroom. Does that make sense? I'm sorry, one parking. Thank you.
So who's suggesting this? Not a state? So we can opt out of it, though?
You can opt out.
Because our regulations call for two parking spaces.
You can opt out of it, but like I said, there's a process to opt out of it. So the commission's
open. Yeah, but this would open it up where we would have no choice and everybody could come in with just one parking space. And if you got one bedroom, occasionally there's two people in it with two cars.
We can't, but we can't require them, but that doesn't mean that they can't have it. So in other words, the plan comes in and shows the two parking spaces.
Yeah, what if a plan comes in and it's all one bedrooms and it's all one space per bedroom? You know, you're going to have, if you got 50 units, you're missing 50 parking spaces.
Yeah, maybe more than that.
This is the minimum requirement. Is that correct, right, Colleen?
Yep.
Yeah, but we can't increase it. Once you say this is acceptable, it's acceptable.
Shall require, except as otherwise approved by the commission.
Okay.
Except as otherwise approved by the commission. So.
And that's pursuant to section 18.2.2. So that goes back to if the developer shows a plan that says, okay, we've had so many of these, we're finding out that we don't need two parking spaces.
But they always say that.
I know, but I'm just saying.
Well, we did, and again, just as a reminder, as a commission, we approved a alternative to our parking requirements, a plan by a
which gave us an option to consider it.
To give the option to consider. So, I mean, that's...
That we voted against.
Right, you did. I recall that.
You know, like where I live, there's at least 13 single-car garages at the houses. I think 11 of them have added the shootout on the driveway so that two cars can park in the driveway and get out. And that had to be approved by this commission. But at least 11 of them have added the additional parking for the cars.
But when you buy a piece of property, you know how much parking you already have. So if you don't like it, you don't buy it. Correct?
Well, you're right.
Or you check into it, so maybe some years down the road
you want to have another one. That's what we've been told every time for this parking. It's always the same spiel.
Well, whatever.
Sometimes we're broken records. I'm sorry.
Okay. So just you. All right. So again, we understand... Poll, we're on this item. You have what our current zone regulation is and what the proposed text being sent down from the state of Connecticut is, which is in bold below it. Who wants what? And understand, if we don't want what's in bold, we have to do the opt-out process. Okay?
Oh, boy.
Well, I mean, and again, these are state regulations.
Right.
Do I like it? I don't like it either. I mean, we should control our own destiny here, but we have to address the item. So, go ahead, Wills, you got a comment.
So, yeah, you addressed earlier, Mr. Chairman, unless otherwise approved by the commission. That's our out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel that.
That's our right.
I feel that we could live with what the state's sending down because we have accepted, otherwise approved by the commission. So if a plan comes in and there's two bedroom units and there's one bedroom units and you meet the minimum requirements, but the commission feels there should be more parking, that's up to the commission.
That's up to our permit.
I think that's under your purview.
Yeah.
When you say units, you mean like apartment units or condo units or just a separate
all of
house?
The above. They could be anything. Multifamily.
Yeah. Because you know what, apartments, I've been in that predicament. I work in second shift, come off work, and then drive through it, and I can't find a darn parking space because everybody has their friend over, sleeping over, and I got to find a place to park, you know? And I live in this, and I live there, and I can't find a place to park.
It's a very good point.
Yes. You know?
God bless Mr. Toner brought that point up many, many times during our zoning commission.
Yeah, you know?
We couldn't find a parking place. And
and I live there.
That's an issue. Yeah. And let me just remind commission members, in the world of development, parking places cost dollars. You know, everybody wants a place they can afford, and everybody wants to fit something on a certain piece of property, but it's not always suitable.
Yeah.
And, you know, each one of these has to look at on an individual basis when they come in to get
approved.
Well,
you know how they had to justify it. I had to go to the thing and said, well, you can buy yourself a parking space, you know? And I said, okay, I'll do that. What, you know, for a little coverage parking space, which was no there by where I lived, but I bought one just in case.
Okay.
And then I find people parked where I'm supposed to be parking, you know?
All right.
Can I just make one more?
Sure.
Maybe help commissioners review it. Since it's in the R32 overlay zone, like I said, there's multifamilies.
Yep.
In the past, we've had them, and this is the part where I think it'll work. We've required additional parking spaces for guests.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So if we have this wording, and then we have the additional parking spaces for guests, we're not telling them that they can only have the one, we're not telling them that they specifically have to have two bedrooms for the one bedroom unit. What we're saying is, you get your one, but you gotta give us a couple extra spaces for guests.
Mm.
Does that work for you?
No. But okay. That's okay. It was
well, make sure
car.
The street is wide enough so people can park on the curb.
Hey, we should design everything so that it's Thanksgiving dinner. Come on now. We got to, you know, come to our senses a little bit here and look at what's practical, what applies on everyday life, what applies in everyday development. You know, the perfect world would be 15 parking places per unit.
No,
but that's not going to happen.
But I just want to clarify. So going back to, I think what...
Go ahead.
Who said, as otherwise approved by the commission pursuant to 18-2 of the regulations,
18?
That's more of, so if somebody comes up with a plan and says to us, that one parking space is going to work here. Well, and then this is going to come back with my whole, I sound like a broken record. Then the commission says, you can't go and tell them that no, you can't, oh, that's not working. Hold on. You can't tell them they have to have two if there's only one is required. Does that make sense? They can show two and you can't be against it. So in other words, you can approve it if they show two, but you cannot specifically tell them if there's a one-bedroom apartment, they have to have two spaces.
I would disagree with the verbiage of this.
Okay.
I see this, and again, this is just
and that's,
my opinion. When I read that, that's the minimum you have to have. Two-bedroom unit has to have this. An efficiency has to have this. Except or otherwise approved by the commission. So except or otherwise could mean a lot of things.
Yeah, but you know, if somebody comes in here and they say, hey, this is what it says, this commission is not going to change it.
Well,
it's just like saying the guest spaces. Say you got five units.
Yeah.
How many guest spaces are you going to require? I don't know. I gave you five units, one bedroom. How many guest spaces?
How many should there be, Tony?
I think there should be seven.
Yeah.
But five of them are going to probably be the other people in the unit.
That could be. I don't know what how do you get to the answer to that?
Well, no, I mean, we got planners. So I don't know how many you need. We got five units.
I mean, I have a quick question here, and maybe it's me not understanding. So if there's an efficiency or a one-bedroom, the reality is a married couple could be living and sleeping in that one bedroom, and they could both have a vehicle,
which isn't
out of the realm of... So I don't know if it's me not understanding that, but how does anyone dictate... If it's a one bedroom, whether a married couple are going to be sleeping there, and they both have their own vehicle, if they only have one space, unless that's a minimum, how are they going to exist at a place you're telling them you can only have one car? You can live here, but you can only have one car.
I'm just
trying to understand it. I'm not trying to debate. I'm just trying to understand.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of married couple that have their own vehicles.
It's a very good point. It's a point that Tony brings up all the time,
that
we've had condominium plans come in here, and they'll have parking below grade, and they'll have a one-width driveway with a garage, but it's a two-bedroom unit, and now all of a sudden you have the potential for two people. Even if it was a one-bedroom, you could have two people, two cars, yeah. and they're stacked one behind the other.
Yeah.
Is that adequate parking? I don't believe it is. I think...
Yeah.
So, now again, you got to try to figure how this got derived by the state. Is this coming out of Bridgeport and where someone builds an apartment and there is no parking, and so they're mandating two parking? Or do we just take the position, we don't need the state telling us what we're going to do with our parking?
That's my position.
And we opt out. Should we, do that? Well, and then down the road, we need to hash out how much parking we put with multifamily. Go ahead, Tiffany.
Just so you know, all the other agenda items are
all the same.
In four are all the same. One bedroom, one parking. Two bedroom,
two parking.
Well, it sounds like we have a pretty good consensus that we want to create our own parking regulations for the town of Montville.
Yeah.
Yep.
Is that?
Yeah.
Yep. Yes.
Yeah, this should be not written in stone, you know, because...
So would we agree that when we get to these agenda items to vote, we're going to vote to opt out?
Yep.
And then we'll have a public hearing. We'll explain why we want to opt out. We'll send it to the town council with a recommendation that we should opt out because we should control our own parking destiny. Is that,
is that
clear?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. I don't mean to sound facetious or aggravated. I just...
It's not, you know, it's... No, you're fine.
Sometimes I get a little...
You're a sweetheart.
Yeah.
Don't like idiots telling us what they do.
So, thank you for pointing that out, Tiffany. So, so we've saved ourselves a little bit of time here.
Yep.
So, again, I will, just for clarity... Anyone from the public want to speak in favor? Anyone want to speak in opposition? Any other questions for the commission that we need to address through the public hearing? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to close the public hearing.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second from Tony Siragusa first. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Anyone abstain? The public hearing is closed. We'll move on to agenda item 5D, which is discussion and decision. The applicants, the town of Montville, proposed amendments to the zoning regulations. Let's address D1. How about if we do these one at a time? Entertain a motion to approve the preamble as we recommended to the town planner, to the assistant planner. Make that clear, Colleen.
We'll move.
Second.
Okay, I don't think I need to.
Well,
yes, yes, that verbiage. And.
So hold on one second.
Go ahead, Colleen.
I was listening to you, and then I heard a so move something. So there is a motion.
There's a motion that we are going to approve the preamble, the proposed wording.
There's a motion specifically for the preamble.
Specifically for the preamble.
Yep.
To approve the proposed wording.
Yep.
With the exception of those two lower paragraphs.
Do not pay attention to the second paragraph. You're only going to do the first paragraph.
Yes, and we are not addressing climate change and impacts associated with. Okay? So we have a motion, we have a second, and we're going to have a vote.
Did somebody read the motion? Because it has the effective date on there.
Motion to amend the town of Montville zoning regulations to add the additions slash amendments and deletions as listed in the proposed changes. List exhibit number one, preamble. The commission has considered the plan of conservation and development and the comprehensive plan of zoning. The effective date of the zoning regulation text amendments will be October 18th, 2021.
Second.
Motion, second. Any discussion on the motion? Roll call vote, Mr. Desjardins.
Okay. William Pediak.
In favor.
Tony Saragusa.
In favor.
Bruce Duchesneau.
In favor.
John Estelle.
In favor.
Chuck Longton.
In favor.
Sarah Lundy.
In favor.
John Desjardins. In favor. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8. Oh, in favor. And you.
In favor.
And you. Will Pike.
Commissioner Estelle, I'll entertain a motion for agenda item 5D2. Which you should have right there, correct?
We're opting out.
So you didn't give us one for that. All right, so would you make a motion to opt out?
I will make a motion to opt out.
5D2.
5D2, 3, and 4.
Very good.
I'll second.
We have a second from Commissioner Saragusa. Any discussion? Go ahead, Secretary.
Okay. William Pediak.
In favor.
Tony Saragusa.
In favor.
Bruce Duchesneau.
In favor.
John Estelle.
In favor.
Chuck Longton.
In favor.
Will Pike.
In favor.
Sarah Lundy.
In favor.
And John Desjardins in favor. All in favor.
You got to be happy. Very good. Thank you very much.
Yes. You should
be Pauline,
very happy
thank
tonight.
You. Moving along, agenda item 6, old business. We have none this evening. Agenda item 7, new business. Robert Sachs, trustee. It's a request for an additional 90-day extension of time to file the subdivision mylars in the town clerk's office relative to the Chapel Hill Road 32-lot subdivision on the properties located at 280. I will not read the lot numbers. They're in your handout. 280, 284, 288, 292, 296, 300, 304, 308, and 316 Chapel Hill Road. They would like 90 days to extend this from October 7th, 2021 to January 5th, 2022. Any questions for staff? This is pretty much a routine thing. They haven't.
So we need I make a motion to extend the.
I'll second that.
So a motion and a second. Any discussion? Voice vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone oppose? Anyone abstain? Okay. They have an extension. Town of Montville, Plan of Conservation and Development 2021 update.
Revisions are made.
Oh, right.
Links for checks. The IT department is going to work on reducing the size because it's huge. Did the commission have any other thoughts or ideas from the last meeting that we had?
I would suggest, again, this was under a time restraint to get where it has to be.
Yes.
I would highly recommend that when the new planner begins, which I understand is tomorrow, that this gets added to the to-do list for, you know, we're required to do this every 10 years, but we can make updates to it as we move along, correct?
Correct.
Doesn't need to be a priority, but as you mentioned when we presented this, there were a lot of pieces we weren't able to complete, and I think those should get addressed as a task that the planner handles. So.
We do need to meet the statute requirement.
Yes, correct.
So, if the commission is okay and has no further additions or subtractions that they want to see in the current, in the proposed text, can the commission set a public hearing date for December 14th?
I will
so just
make
so
a
you
motion
know, right now this has to get
hearing.
Sent to...
Okay.
Sorry. It has to get sent to the town council. Their next meeting is October, I think.
14th, second Monday.
14th or 15th, I think.
Well, the 11th is a holiday, so I think they do it after on a Wednesday, don't they?
Yeah, Wednesday.
So it'll be the 13th.
So I'd like to get that to them so they can put this on their agenda, okay. So they can look at it and accept it.
So you need a date of what for to set the public hearing?
December 14th. That's the next. That's the December planning zoning meeting.
12/14/21. Tony made a motion to set the public hearing date.
Second.
Second from Mr. Longton. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
What day is it going to be?
Anyone abstain? 12/14/21, public hearing set for approval of this. Again, recommendations to have the new planner try to fill in the blanks, update information, put it on the list of a item that needs to be.
Just a question. Do we need a public hearing date for the follow-up of the one we didn't close? Or is that automatic?
Say that, I didn't hear what you said.
Well, we closed that. We didn't
it
close
the public. It just continues to the
it
next
It just
meeting.
Continues.
Yep,
and what about the ones that need to have a public hearing for that parking stuff?
Oh.
Don't you got to set a date for that?
I have to. Well, part of the problem with the opt-out is I have to check the good thought. I didn't think of it.
What's our October meeting?
Well, we can schedule it. For
we can schedule it if it's
yeah. If you got
if it's a mess, we cancel it, right? Yes. So, okay.
We can put that under other business. We can go back to that under other business.
Sure, let's do that. Okay, very good. We have a public hearing set for the plan of conservation and development. Agenda item 8, zoning matters. Tiffany, you're up.
Yay. This is, first I'd like to start by thanking the commission and Chairman Pinas on behalf of the planning and zoning department. During this transition, the commission has been supportive and understanding, and this has not gone unnoticed and is greatly appreciated. So this report is for August 24th to September 28th. As you can see, I did 49 inquiries, which are, I want to see my map, where are my setbacks, weapons, regulations. We had a few complaints, roosters, as usual. Field inspections, I did 20 of them, deck sheds and planes, deck sheds and pools and ENS. A couple new home occupations. As you can see, the zoning permits, and then certificates of zoning compliance, no letter of compliance letters, no inland wetlands applications right now, but we do have a zoning board of appeal application regarding a decision letter that was written for the properties located at 1718, it's supposed to be 1856. Route 32, and there's a public hearing on November 3rd. If you want any more information on that, Meredith and I have that. If you have any questions about it, it's an ongoing thing that we've discussed at one point in time back in January where I made a decision. And like if it came back again, I redid the questions and redid the answers. More or less the same answers that we gave the first time, and they still didn't like it, so they are appealing my decisions. Yes.
That'll happen in your world.
So. That'll happen in my world.
Okay. All right. Questions for? Yes,
I do.
Yep. Fire away.
Connex box, Oxabox, or Dam. What about the one at Old Colchester?
Old Colchester.
The
one at Old Colchester.
I don't see it on your report here. That's why I was wondering. They have a permit
Oxbox,
for it?
Oxbox of Dam. The Oxbox of Dam was last month.
So it should be Old Colchester?
This is the Old Colchester one.
Got it.
But he has a lease.
Perfect.
Okay. Yes.
The new business, dog cookies, where's that?
That's That's going to be in the gristmill wall, and it should be open. I think they're doing an inspection Thursday. They should be open Friday and Saturday.
So it must be where the old barbershop used to be.
Yep.
Or right near it.
All kinds of doggy treats.
Any other questions for Tiffany? Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right. Other business. Tony, would you make a motion to set the public hearing? Our meeting in October is on what date? Someone tell me that.
18th.
The 18th?
Yep.
That's early.
Okay, let's see.
Third, right?
That's Monday.
25th?
October.
Fourth Tuesday.
That's a Monday.
25th.
Okay,
the 25th is a Monday.
It's a Monday.
26.
Okay, so
set a hearing date for October 26th.
Set a public hearing for the opt out of the changes to the pre-parking requirements.
So what date is that?
Under section.
Yeah, whatever.
So it's going to be what, October 26th meeting?
October 26th.
Yeah, okay, you got it down there already.
October 26th.
That's what I meant to say.
14.8.3,
18.3.1,
and 18.3.2.
12, 14, yep, got that date down.
Okay, so we have a motion to set the public hearing for October 26th.
Yes.
Is that the
date?
Yeah.
So Tony made the motion, you'll second that?
Second.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. Yeah. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Anyone oppose? Anyone abstain? So the public hearing set for the 26th for the opt-out. If there are any issues regarding that that you should determine, or your new leader can let the commission know. Correct?
Yes.
Okay. Minutes. Approval of the August 24th, 2021 meeting minutes.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Anyone oppose? Anyone abstain?
Abstain.
Okay. Commissioner Estelle abstains. And then 11B, approval of the September 14th, 2021 special meeting.
So moved.
Second.
Motion, second. Any discussion, questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone oppose? Anyone abstain?
I abstain because I wasn't here.
Commissioner Desjardins, Commissioner Estelle. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Yep, we gotta get home.
Second.
All right. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.